Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight. Hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call here tonight. Our phone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here this evening. And check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And while you're there, you can read some articles that I've got there and that I put together. You can link to our home church, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I'm the pastor. Certainly invite you to visit us if you're in northeastern Ohio sometime. And also, you can link to past programs there as well. Not everybody listening right now hears our Friday afternoon program. We're on every Friday afternoon from 1:30 till 2 o'clock, and those programs are available at livewithpastoral.com. And we're also on Sunday nights from 10 o'clock until midnight. And I realize some people only hear our 11 o'clock to midnight hour. But if you want to hear the other parts of the program, you can go to livewithpastoral.com, and you'll see our 10 o'clock hour there as well as the 11 o'clock for each Sunday night. And so I try to get those uploaded within a couple of days is my goal. But it's me that does the computer work. So whenever I'm able to get it together and get it put in is when I try to do it. I'm just looking right now, and it looks like currently we are loaded up until Sunday, February 5th on here. And so I don't have last Friday on here as of yet. If you go to the word Cleveland, Greg over there, Greg was just telling me that if you go to the word Cleveland, you can find it on their podcast already. How soon do you get those up? He'll have that up pretty soon. So thewordcleveland.com, just go there and you can find them there faster if you don't want to wait for me. That's our home station here is AM 1220 The Word, and we're out of Independence, Ohio. We're just south of Cleveland, just outside of Cleveland, here in northeastern Ohio. And we're glad to have you with us tonight. As I said, our toll-free number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight, and we have got Terry, who has been patiently waiting for us here. Terry, welcome to the program tonight.
Good evening, Pastor Al.
Good evening.
I thought that Nancy mentioned Palestine, too, and I looked it up to see, what happened in Palestine?
Yeah.
I was looking it up, and it was Palestine.
Yeah, East Palestine, Ohio, and it's actually a little closer to Pittsburgh than it is to here. It's near the Ohio-Pennsylvania border. It's kind of interesting, the geography. There's a little piece of West Virginia that juts up between Ohio and Pennsylvania. In fact, yeah, West Virginia is considered the South, but if you live in that little finger of Pennsylvania, you're further north than most of Ohio. It's kind of hard to believe, but
I was reading about that the other day.
Yeah, chemicals that are in the water, the waterways in that area, all are tributaries eventually to the Ohio River, and then of course you've got that cloud, and the air currents take that not in our direction, but off in the direction of Pennsylvania. So it'd be Newcastle, Pittsburgh, those types of areas. And I've not really heard anything much about them. Our governor was there in East Palestine, and he was saying everything's pretty good, you know, and they're getting things taken care of. But I didn't notice him drinking any water while he was there. So, and there's actually a yeah. What's that?
2,000 fish died?
Yeah, there's been fish that have died, people's animals. There's been some animals that died, chickens and things, different birds and stuff. But I was going to mention, too, talking about East Palestine, there's a way that if people want to help out, Nehemiah's Network, which is here in the Cleveland area, they're a disaster relief ministry of the Columbia Road Baptist Church, which is in East Olmsted, Ohio, I have the information for Columbia Road Baptist Church here. Their phone number, if somebody would like to contribute to they're sending in bottled water to the residents of East Palestine. Nehemiah's Network has a nice warehouse facility in Cleveland. But if you want to know how you can send some money to buy water, so they're going to load up some trucks with pallets of water here, and you can call Columbia Road Baptist Church at 440-777-7539. That's 440-777-7539. That's Columbia Road Baptist Church in North Olmsted, Ohio. And they're the church, the Nehemiah's Network is a ministry of the Columbia Road Baptist Church in North Olmsted. And they have been very effective in disaster relief, sending in supplies and helping with hurricanes in Florida, Texas, tornadoes in Texas and Oklahoma, fires and floods in different places. And they've been very active in a number of these things. They have a nice warehouse the Lord has blessed them with. They have a number of supplies there, and they try to respond. And this is pretty close to where we're at. And so the big need that they have right now for relief supplies is bottled water. And so, again, like I said, if somebody would like to help out with Nehemiah's Network, call the Columbia Road Baptist Church in North Olmsted, Ohio. You can call them at 440-777-7539. That's 440-777-7539. You can find them online at columbiaroad.org. That's columbiaroad.org. And when you get a hold of them, just let them know that you want to contribute to buy bottled water for the East Palestine relief effort. And I know they can use the help, and I know the people that are involved in this. I would have had Brother Jenkins, Alan Jenkins, on with me tonight, but he is ill this evening and unable to be with me. Otherwise, he would be talking about this himself. But great ministry there of the Columbia Road Baptist Church, and that is, again, columbiaroad.org, columbiaroad.org. Phone number 440-777-7539. That's 440-777-7539. Find out how you can contribute to help purchase some bottled water and other needed supplies going to the relief efforts in East Palestine as they're recovering and cleaning up from this devastating train wreck. Back to you, Terry. I just got a little promo on that. You prompted me to think about that, and I know we have people listening outside of Ohio that probably can't bring bottled water themselves, but they'd like to help out, and they can certainly do so by contacting Columbia Road Baptist Church. So,
yep. And one question, it's not a question really. Mm-hmm. It came to me many times. I guess Ivan the Terrible was found in your city, eh?
Ivan the Terrible? Yeah. Oh, you're thinking of Demoniac, they believe that he was a prison guard in one of the Nazi concentration camps. during World War II, and he was working, I mean, a steel mill or automobile plant or something in Cleveland. He was found, when was that? Back in the 90s, I think it was, 1990s. And he ended up being sent. Yeah, he was sent to Israel and was on trial there. And, of course, you know, it was very controversial. Number of people denying that that took place. Number of people saying yes. Denying that that was him. Number of people saying yes, absolutely, it was him. And the evidence seemed, well, he was found guilty, I believe, in the Israeli court. The evidence seemed to indicate that he indeed was this prison guard that was a notorious guard known as Ivan the Terrible. Yeah, I hadn't thought about him in a long time, but he was here.
I probably buried that one. Yeah. I've never read about that before.
Not too far from here, actually. Craig City's over in Seven Hills. I'd forgot about that. I'm sitting in Independence, Ohio right now. Seven Hills is the next town to the west of us, just up the road from here, literally, from where we're at.
And he was just living a normal life. Nobody even knew anything about him, eh?
Well, it's interesting because after World War II, think about it, there were certain people that were not supposed to be allowed into the United States. I believe that if you were an SS member, you were not allowed into the United States. But I personally know of somebody who bragged about being an SS member in World War II, and he was living a normal life in the United States.
He was going to church and he had a family and everything.
I think about it. I thought a plot line, wouldn't a great plot line be if you had somebody in the waning days of World War II who on the battlefield switched identities with somebody, like if you had somebody who's in the SS or something like that, and he switched identities with somebody. Because think about it. They didn't have, you know, the computerized stuff that we had today. All you needed was a grainy black and white picture that sort of looked like you and a description that was sort of your size and shape. And you switch the identities and come to the States under an assumed identity. I said that would be a great plot line for a book, and you could have that guy living a life in the United States, but always with looking over his shoulder, wondering if somebody would ever catch on to him. We've reached the point, I think, where most of those guys are probably not around. There's a few left, I'm sure, that was a pretty noteworthy news story, international story, when that came out.
Yeah. And you were talking about China. If China ever took over, and it seems like a possibility, if they ever took over Taiwan, what would the world do if that happened?
They'd have to kowtow to the Chinese because if they want chips, you know, microchips for their computers and different devices and things, where are they going to get them?
Yeah, that was my thought. You know, they can't. What would they do? There's not nothing really the world could do if they just decided to go in there.
Well, and the biggest obstacle probably right now to China taking over Taiwan, and remember at the end of World War II, it was the Chinese national government that fled to Taiwan, which was an island province of China. It was actually the island of Formosa is what it was called earlier. And they fled and they held out there while the Chinese communists, led by Mao Zedong, took over mainland China. And they have refused to acknowledge Taiwan as being separate, being an independent country. They still largely claim it as a province. It's in rebellion against against the Chinese communist government. And so it is China, but it's free China as opposed to communist China, which is on the mainland. But one of the obstacles to communist China taking over free China, which is Taiwan, is, of course, the United States. We're an ally, and we are sworn to defend Taiwan. And they have to eliminate the United States' ability or willingness and or willingness to defend Taiwan. And like we were saying in the last hour, we see the fentanyl that's pouring over our open southern border. And, of course, the chemicals to produce the fentanyl are being supplied by China to the Mexican drug cartels. And they are, in turn, sending it over the border. And as a consequence of this influx of fentanyl in the United States, we see that the number one killer of young men of military age is fentanyl overdosing. And then, of course, we have a administration, the Biden administration, where Joe Biden has been compromised by the Chinese national government. The Hunter laptop, which they now admit is real after denying it as Russian hoax for a while, they now admit that the Hunter Biden laptop, especially when when Hunter Biden said, "Hey, it's mine," and so. That has given us evidence that Hunter Biden was given millions of dollars by the communist Chinese government, and a lot of that money went to, 10% to the big guy, his dad. As an aside, it was kind of interesting. He influenced his dad to hire this Chinese-American woman to work for his dad, and she oversaw the removal of classified documents and documents from Biden vice president office, and when Biden was the vice president, and those documents wound up in the Chinatown area of Washington, D.C., and then in the Biden found what was it, the I think of the name of the think tank or whatever that he had there in the D.C. area. And of course, you're wondering, well, how much of a Chinese communist government connection is there with that? And on it goes. But it is interesting that the Biden administration is complicit through the open borders of allowing the fentanyl to come in that's decimating our military. And then, of course, as you said, the Biden administration pushing transgender nonsense on the military. You can't be in the military if you've got asthma because you're not deployable. But if you're transgender and you're strung out on all the hormone therapy and recovering from surgeries, you can be in the military even though you're not deployable. An asthmatic is more deployable than some of these people. And just on and on and on, the decimation of our military. It's almost like somebody, say, Communist China, was trying to soften us up to take away our ability and our willingness to defend Taiwan so that they could take over Taiwan. And then, of course, that goes without saying, as we've talked about before, the numbers of Chinese nationals, of young men of military age who have been coming over as illegals. And then, of course, in Canada, where you're at, look at the influx of Chinese military in Western Canada that we hear about periodically. So,
yeah, we have our problems here, too.
Yeah, so it's almost like they want to eliminate the United States and even Canada from being any kind of a threat.
So. And, I remember watching the other day when Biden got, when they were talking about the fentanyl coming over here from Mexico,
mm-hmm.
somebody yelled out and said, "It's your fault.
Yeah, and he also tried to downplay it. I think he said like 70,000 a year when it's like 100,000 or more a year dying from fentanyl overdose and things like that. But we do have a problem. And again, as I said, Paul told Timothy, we're living in last days with perilous times would come. And we need God's people to get back into the Bible. We need God's people to be, in prayer. We're not going to, the government isn't going to pull us out of this. We need to look to God. And we know, of course, that the globalists are angling to bring in a global order. And they're not even hiding it anymore. And, you know, the sad thing is, I'd like to be able to say the sad thing is that most Americans and most Canadians are unaware of that. But I have to say it this way. Most American and Canadian Christians are unaware of that. And that's what makes it even sadder, because Paul told the Thessalonians that we should be watching, not caught as in the darkness, not asleep. In fact, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, he says in verse 6, "Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do." We're to be watching. We're to be waiting. Yeah. We're not to be sleeping. And yet,
I believe the seasons are here. The times are,
yes.
The signs and the times are here.
And sadly, most Christians in America, most Christians in Canada are sleeping. They're not watching.
Yeah.
They're asleep. They don't even know what's happening.
The Lord's coming. They think that the Lord, a lot of churches believe that the Lord's coming. His return is coming. Like, not the pre-rapture, not the Lord taking the church. Like, there's so many people out there that believe that the Lord's just going to return in the second coming.
Well, yeah, they don't even believe in the rapture, or they believe the rapture will take place after the tribulation or during the tribulation or something. And, I was going to say
I believe that when the Antichrist comes, and that's going to be the trick of the Antichrist.
Yeah,
people are going to think that he's the one that they've been waiting for.
Well, second
witnesses, the Mormons.
Yeah, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, talking about the rise of the Antichrist. He says in verse 4, "Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God," which of course tells us a couple things right there. The temple is going to be rebuilt in Jerusalem. That's what we call the third temple. That'll be rebuilt in Jerusalem, and the Antichrist is going to go into that temple, and he is going to seat himself in the temple and declare that he's God. He's going to present himself as God, saying, "I have arrived," basically. And, of course, we have the false prophet during the tribulation period who will be trying to get people to worship him as God. And that's where we come at the midpoint of the tribulation with the mark of the beast, you know, the infamous 666 mark on the forehead or on the back of the right hand. And it's interesting, the people who receive that mark, apparently, part of the reception of that mark is going to be you must worship the Antichrist, the beast, as God. And
all great and small to take that.
Yeah. And see, one of the reasons that they indicate that they worship him as God is when you get into Revelation chapter 14. It says in verse 9, "And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, If any man," notice here it is, "worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand. So right there, they're worshiping him. So the Antichrist is going to be presented by the false prophet as God. He's going to enter into the new temple, the rebuilt temple, declaring himself to be God. Over in Daniel chapter 9, he says he causes the sacrifices and oblations to cease. And as he presents himself as God and this mark is instituted, people are going to worship him and then receive his mark. And the Bible goes on to say in Revelation 14, verse 10, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. And they have no rest day nor night. And here it is again. Who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. And so this idea of worshiping him and receiving his mark are linked twice in this passage. They're linked in Revelation 14, 9, and they're linked in Revelation 14, 11. And so that's why I believe that in order to receive the mark, it's not you're just going to wake up one day and say, how did this mark get here? You're going to have to actually worship him.
Many people are going to think that he's Christ that they're worshiping.
Right, and that's what the Bible says. Paul warned them again in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, in verse 11, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And so he's saying there is they're going to be fooled. There's people today who clearly, people today who clearly understand the gospel. They believe that it's true, but they don't want to accept Christ. I had a woman when I was, my wife and I were missionaries in the Samoan Islands. We had a woman who said she believed the gospel. She had no doubt that it was true. But she said, I don't want to get saved because if I get saved, this is what she said to us. She said, the Lord will take away my desire for partying and drinking and carousing, basically. And I don't want that to happen. And she's a textbook example of what he said here, that they would send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Somebody like that, after the rapture, is not going to have a second chance. That's it. They're going to believe the lie. They're going to believe the Antichrist is God, is Christ, is the Messiah. They're going to receive the mark, and they're going to be damned for all eternity. But there's a lot of people who have heard the gospel, but they've never made a decision one way or the other. It just hasn't made sense to them or whatever. Maybe they just put it off. After the rapture takes place, the Bible talks in Revelation about a vast multitude of people coming to Christ. And so there'll be a tremendous revival. People talk about an end-time revival. There'll be one at the beginning of the tribulation period. A lot of people come to Christ, but many of them will be martyred for the word of their testimony, the Bible says.
Beheadedness will come back.
And that's going to be the penalty, apparently, for receiving or for refusing to receive the mark. And so we see these things prophesied in the scripture, and we see the framework for those things taking place. And again, that's where I go back to, you know, Luke chapter 21, when Jesus said, when you see these things begin to happen, come to pass. He didn't say they're coming to pass. He didn't say they're happening. It's the foreshadowing of these things. Somebody pointed out one time, well, he's talking about events in the tribulation in that chapter. And I agree, he is. But he says in Luke 21, verse 28, and when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Just like you see the shadow of somebody approaching around the corner before the person gets there. They've not got there yet, but you see something that indicates that they're soon going to be there. And when you see that foreshadowing, you know they're coming. And so that's what we see here, the foreshadowing. What's that?
It's going to happen in a twinkling of an eye.
Yeah, and the believers will be caught up. And then, of course, after that, the restraint against the mystery of iniquity will be removed. And according to the Bible, the Antichrist will come to power. He'll confirm a seven-year treaty, appears to be with Israel, probably bringing peace to that region. And part of it may bring the peace that allows Israel to be a land of unwalled villages, dwelling in peace and safety, which will set the stage for, of course, the Ezekiel 38 battle. Hey, we're out of time. Thanks for listening. Don't give up. God bless. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland, just off both Interstate 77 and Interstate 271. The Bible Baptist Church meets each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing to Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. And, we got a lot that we've been talking about tonight, but I just want to remind you, check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you not only can find out more about me, but you can also link to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I'm the pastor. That's the primary sponsor of our program tonight. And you can also listen to some past programs that we have there, all at livewithpastoral.com. Also got a number of articles that are there. And something that actually I was going to mention earlier, actually in the 10 o'clock hour, but I haven't had a chance to get to it. We've been talking about a number of things going on, the tragedy in East Palestine, Ohio, with the train wreck, and some things with China and fentanyl, and just this, that, and the other. But one of the things that I have on our webpage at livewithpastoral.com is a link to our 30 Pieces of Silver project. And you can go there, and this is especially if you're in Ohio, this would obviously apply. And in regards to the 22 the Republicans that had pledged to support the conservative Representative Derek Marin for Speaker of the Ohio House, and then they betrayed him while his father was dying and on his deathbed, and then after he passed away between Christmas and New Year's, and as Representative Marins was working to take care of his father's funeral and all of that, his father, who was a Baptist pastor, went to be with the Lord, and obviously he was caught up with that. They staged a coup, and these 22 Republicans split from the Republican supermajority that we had elected to the Ohio House, thinking we were going to get a lot of conservative legislation passed in the session. They joined with every one of the Democrats, and they elected another guy, Jason Stevens, as Speaker of the House on January 3rd, and Stevens has already shown that he is not a friend of the conservative agenda. And I'm not going to go into all the details there, but we started a project a few weeks ago, some people, some of us at church. It wasn't a church project, but it was some of us at church, and you're talking about it. And what we ended up doing is we put together a package. We got some plastic coins. They look like little silver coins. We put 30 coins in a little cloth draw bag, put it in a box with a thing that said, "Dear Representative," along with their name. "What was your price? Sincerely, a concerned Ohio voter." We stuck it in the box, and we mailed that one of those to each one of the 22 turncoat Republicans in Ohio here. And for those who are outside of Ohio, feel free to send some too. I mean, if you go to our website, livewithpastoral.com, you'll see that there in my comments in the center of the page. And you can click on the 30 Pieces of Silver Project link, and that will take you to a page which shows you what we did. And, of course, it's based on Matthew chapter 26, verse 15, where Judas was expressing his willingness to the Pharisees to betray Christ, and he said, "What will you give me then? And I will deliver him unto you." And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And so we've got this going on. We have PDFs of the letters, of the addresses and everything for mailing addresses. And we also put links to the sources that we found, the plastic coins, the cloth drawstring bags, and the boxes, I believe. I think we got the boxes on there. And not that we get anything or have any connection with them. These are just the ones that we used that at the time seemed to be the best prices. And how we did it, and if you're outside of Ohio, feel free to send some. You might want to change it from a concerned Ohio voter to a concerned Republican or concerned conservative. But the thought was this could be expanded to others. Whether you're in Ohio, whether you're in Florida, we have a number of elected officials in the U.S. Capitol. Senators and representatives, Republicans, supposedly conservatives that voted for the Respect for Marriage Act, which should have been called the Disrespect for Marriage Act, and other things that are certainly not faith and family friendly. And this is something that could be sent to them. You just change the names, the addresses and all, and ask them what their price was. We were talking about it at church today, saying we mailed all these off last week, and they should have arrived in Columbus at the state office building either Thursday or Friday. Should have gotten there. And don't know if anybody's seen them yet, because obviously the representatives are not always in Columbus, but their aides would have been opening the boxes and maybe talking with other aides, say, hey, did your representative get any of these things? And we did not put the verse in there in Matthew chapter 26. We purposely did not put the verse there. We figured that if somebody sees the "what was your price," if they get the reference, that would be enough. If they don't get the reference, then hopefully they'll take a look at it and they'll ask somebody and say, what is this? Somebody sent me this thing. What is your price? And I got these 30 pieces here. What does this mean? And eventually they'll find somebody who'll say, what do you mean? You don't know what this means? This is Judas Iscariot betraying Jesus Christ. There, you know, Easter's coming up. People are talking about these things at their church. And so hopefully it'll get people thinking. Our goal is to bring conviction to some of these Republicans, that hopefully they would basically turn back from this vote and maybe side with the rest of the Republicans. And if enough of them do that, we can actually see a vote of no confidence, a challenge to the Speaker, and perhaps yet see Speaker Marins as opposed to Speaker Stevens here in Ohio. And again, the idea, even if that doesn't happen, at least maybe bring some people under conviction, and we'll see what happens. But pray for us. We sent those off. Don't know if we'll hear anything or not, but we'll give you updates if we do. The information is there if somebody else wants to file suit. You don't have to send all 22 of them out at one time. We did that. Guy at the post office was a little taken aback when I brought in a bag with 21 little boxes that all had to be processed individually. We got them sent out, and I think it cost about $121 for the postage. Not expecting everybody to do that, but certainly if you live in one of the districts here in Ohio where you have one of these guys like Bob Young down in Stark County, southern part of Summit County, or Bill Patton out in the western end of Cuyahoga County, you could send him one. You can print off the information, get a hold of some little plastic silver coins. Don't send them real silver. They don't deserve that. Just give them some plastic silver coins and get 30 pieces of silver, put it in a bag, and send it off and ask them, what was your price? And, hey, just one little thing. A friend of mine was talking to another representative and said that he told him about our 30 pieces of silver project and said the guy loved it. And I've had good responses from a number of people talking about this. But like I said, go to our website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And click on the 30 Pieces of Silver project link there. You'll see it in the comments section. And if you can use this and adapt it, feel free. If you're in another state, you want to use this for a similar situation in your state or for your U.S. representative or senator, feel free. I'm not claiming any need to have this copywritten or anything. We just want to change hearts and lives and hopefully allow the Spirit of God to bring some conviction on some of these people. Well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. You give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we currently have nobody waiting. So if you're looking for an opportunity to get in, this is your opportunity. Sometimes people ask me, well, how come you have Nancy on all the time? How can we have Terry on all the time and some other people that we have frequently? Well, the short answer is they call in. That's the easiest way to put it. They call in. And some people say, well, what do I need to do? Well, you just need to pick up the phone and dial 888-677-9673. And it's as simple as that. And we'd love to have you on if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. I'm sorry, you just got her to information. Bill Johnson is, I know who Bill Johnson is. I've actually met him. Bill Johnson is the U.S. representative for East Palestine, and he actually has been pushing in Washington to get FEMA and others involved in helping out there, because the Biden administration basically was just kind of brushing it under the rug. It's flyover country. They don't care. And besides, I think East Palestine, that area, it pretty much voted for Trump in the last two presidential elections. So they just don't care. It's a shame that we live in a country where people aren't being considered for help by the federal government because they don't amount to much. They're flyover country, or they voted for somebody else in an election. Yeah, it's sad. It's sad. And you know, speaking of that, that's one of the ways that sometimes people are able to influence elections. I knew of somebody who told me one time, this was back when Hillary Clinton was running for president, and he said he was afraid to go vote for Donald Trump because he was afraid that Hillary Clinton would find out about it and take away his benefits, because he was on SCI, I think it was, or something like that, so some federal benefit, or government assistance, and he was afraid that he would lose his assistance if he voted for a Republican. Well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and we have got Terry calling back in, and we've got somebody else calling, and let's give a moment for Craig to be able to handle everybody there. You want to put Terry on real quick while you get the other guy? We got Terry back with us here. Terry, get back, and I got somebody else calling in right now, too, so okay. Go ahead.
I was just going to make it real quick then. I was going to mention one thing about the coming of the Lord is that the Catholics and the Reformers, the Mormons, and Muslims, they're all waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's another problem right there. And when the Lord does come, when the Lord takes the church, people are going to think it's the Lord that they're dealing with, but it's not going to be the Lord.
Yeah, well, and that's part of the problem when you see these different religions and other groups, errant groups that are looking for the Jesus to come back. Like I said, even the Mormons or the Muslims are believing that. That's what's going to make it possible, I think, for the Antichrist to convince people, well, look, that's who I am, and they'll believe it. So,
great. I just thought I'd throw that.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Terry. Thanks. Appreciate that. And we've got Phyllis calling in tonight. Phyllis, welcome to the program this evening.
Oh, hi, Pastor Al.
Hi, good evening. You? Welcome.
Oh, thank you. You just gave that telephone number out again, so I was able to write it down and call you back.
Yes.
Did you see the news article on Fox News and online about the revival in Kentucky?
I've seen
Christian
some of that.
College down there. It's Asbury College in Wilmore, Kentucky, and the prayer meeting started February 8th, and it was just a normal evening prayer meeting, and I guess some people stayed after the prayer meeting was over, some students there at the college, it's a Christian college, and they started praying, and they wouldn't leave.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they prayed through the night. Now, this has been going on for a week, and people are saying it's a revival. And I wondered if you heard about it and what you thought about it.
I have seen some different things on it, and it's still kind of early to see where it's going to go. There's reports that other schools, I saw something that Cedarville in Ohio, southwestern
yes.
Ohio, is starting to have a number of people meeting, and there's been some others, but
I read that.
Real concern is going to be, what is the result of this? Is it just merely an emotional thing that's happening, or are we going to see people, because a real biblical revival, It, you know, a lot of people think my church has scheduled a revival, and we're going to have revival on this date for these days, and not before and not after. That's not a revival. No, another false thought about revival is, wow, we're seeing all these people say we're having revival. No, that's not revival either. Revival is when God's people begin to confess their sin and their failures and seek God's face and turn back to Him and implore God to help them to overcome their weaknesses and help them to live for God and to be a witness.
Yeah.
That's what revival is. It's God's people turning back to the Lord.
Repentance.
Right now, and when I say God's people, I mean for people who are saved to begin getting serious with God, because you know, a lot of us as Christians, we get kind of comfortable. We get at ease in Zion, so to speak, and we just get kind of comfortable living the way we are and living a mediocre life as a Christian. But when you see revival begin to break out, when I was in the Air Force, I was stationed in England. And really interesting, we had a missionary that started a church outside of our base. I was stationed at RAF Chicksands, and it was in the center of England, in the Midlands area. Bedford, England, is near where we were at. If anybody's familiar with Pilgrim's Progress and John Bunyan there, he was imprisoned in the Bedford prison, which was actually on the bridge over the River Ouse. And he wrote the book, Pilgrim's Progress, which was one of the most read and translated books in the English language ever. And it's still used heavily today, read heavily today. I encourage people to read it. And it was kind of neat being stationed there outside of Bedford, because many of the scenes he used, the scenery and countryside around Bedford, to set the stage for the scenes in the book Pilgrim's Progress. And while I was there, a missionary from Georgia started a church outside of our base. And we had a number of British nationals that were in that church, as well as a bunch of us from the Air Force base. And so we had a nice mix of British and Americans there in the church. And one lady that was in the church, her grandmother, who was from Wales, was staying with her for a while. And I got to meet her grandmother, who was, I want to say, and this is in the 1980s, that she was in her 80s, at least herself, I think, if not pushing 90 or in her 90s. And she told stories about being in Wales when the Welsh revival, she remembered some of the latter times of the Welsh revival, a historical event that swept through Wales. And many Christians just began showing up in churches and praying and asking God to search their hearts. Like David said, you know, to God, search my heart, see if there's any wicked way in me. And they began doing that. And as God began working in the hearts of believers, and they began getting serious about living for God, then people started coming to Christ. See, people getting saved is a result of revival. It's not revival. Revival is
so
God's people.
It's the Christian people that are drawn in.
Right.
Come and repent, pray and repent.
Yeah. And get serious about living for God and serving Him.
And more or less have an epiphany, or maybe get born again.
And it may be that they rededicate their life to the Lord. They've grown cold, and so then when this happens, it's not just merely an emotional gathering, because that happens sometimes, but it's a real, genuine work of the Spirit of God. What's that?
You take it that these are Christian students or.
Well, that's what the claim is, and I think we're still early on enough that it remains to be seen, you know, just what is going on there. And see, when we had the Great Awakening in this country, mm-hmm. in the early days of this country, in the colonial days, we had an awakening where God's people began to wake up to the need mm-hmm. to live for God and begin to preach the gospel. And, mm-hmm. And as they began living for the Lord, then, of course, people began getting saved. Mm-hmm. And one of the dangers that happens sometimes is when God is working, sometimes the devil tries to get his foot in the door. Even the Great Awakening, and even in parts where the Welsh Revival was going on, we had mm-hmm. some places where they got caught up in various I'll put it this way, in various charismatic experiences. And I don't have time to get into all about the speaking tongues and everything right now. It's too much to get into in the last couple of minutes of the program. But what I wanted to say is the experiences became more important than God. The experiences became more important than God's word. And I think true revival is going to put believers into the word of God and wanting to conform their life to the word of God rather than to some experience. And so the danger that we see, and the devil tries to turn what God is doing, and if this is God trying to reach people, they need to be on guard against the work mm-hmm. of the devil trying to co-opt it and corrupt it.
And reading the articles, they said it was very low-key. Mm-hmm. It was non-charismatic.
Yes.
It was sometimes quiet, so there wasn't a lot of hype going on, mm-hmm. you know. And
those are encouraging things.
Yeah, so I was reading these articles online, so maybe in the days or weeks ahead you could look into this and check it out and see. Like, it is spreading. There's a few other places, mm-hmm. like you said, that this is happening. So that was an interesting point, that it wasn't this rousing, you know, charismatic kind of a movement. A lot of people were sitting quietly praying.
Right,
going
because
forward.
Yeah, and I was going to say, contrast that with a few years ago where we had what they called the Brownsville Revival, which was characterized by all kinds of weird happenings, people barking like dogs and rolling around and everything, and all. Let me just share something with you here, because I know we're coming up on the end of the program. In 2 Peter, and I think this is important, in 2 Peter chapter 2, Peter writes about the great experiences he had walking with Christ and going up on the Mount of Transfiguration and seeing Jesus transfigured before his eyes. I don't have time to read it all, and that's in 2 Peter chapter 1, chapter 1, starting in verse 16, where he says he's not foul cunning devised fables. And then he says in verse 19, we have a more sure word of prophecy, and he goes on to talk about the word of God more important than experiences. Thank you, Phyllis. Thank you for everybody listening tonight.
Yeah.
And
oh,
God bless.
You've been listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live, visit our website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also listen to past programs and read articles on a variety of topics by Al Davis at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, next Sunday morning at 11 a.m., next Sunday evening at 6 p.m., or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study from 7 to 9 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, every Sunday at 11 a.m., 6 p.m., and every Friday at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286, or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. And tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.